I'm going to be around John 3:16 this morning. America just observed Valentine's Day, and you know, most Christians don't know the pagan roots, of course, of that observance, and even the historians disagree on it. But we had a sweetheart banquet the other night here at church, and obviously avoiding the pagan title. And then Joyce and I, the next night, Valentine's night, we ate dinner at the reservation restaurant. And we had a wonderful time, a good meal and fellowship with family, Jeff's mom and dad and sister and brothers. Of course, Jeff was working, Greg was working, so we ordered them around. And observing love. I remember as kids in elementary school, I remember back in the day at Milan in about the second or third grade, the kids, we all made Valentines. Drew up our own Valentines. Now, I'm not much of an artist, not really. I can hardly draw my breath. I'm that bad. But I remember, not at that age, obviously, not as a romantic thing, but as a fun thing to do. And then we just pass them out, and everybody look at the Valentines. And it is a day supposed to be about love and romance. And I remember my mama, when she was about 95 years old, told me that romance makes the world go round. My mama. We was always accusing of her of hunting for an old bachelor way up in her 90s. But we kidded her about that. But, you know, as Christians today, we should have no illusions over the greatest love story that has ever been told. The greatest love story that has ever been told. And it's found right here in this whole black book. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My. That verse is probably, I'd say, the most memorized verse of all of Scripture. I've seen football players with that, John 3:16 on their foreheads, you know, painted in black. That's the gospel. God loving the world so much that he gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Not only did God love the world, it says that he so loved it that he did something about it. So it motivated God. God's love motivated him to do something about it. And what he did was he gave. I remember researching that word love and charity in Corinthians. That word's charity in a lot of all the new Bibles change that word to love. But the charity is a type of love that is costly. It comes from the word charis. I researched all that. That it has to do with it's a love that costs you something. And that's how God's love was for us. It cost him something. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And also notice here that God's love can be appropriated by anybody. Did you notice that? Can be appropriated by anybody by simply believing in his Son. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul called that the gospel. You have access to that. It's in your direction, we'll find out. It's available to you. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, that's me, that's, in the original Greek, that means whosoever. Anybody. Now watch it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My, my, my. Everlasting life. Heaven. What a place. Life everlasting. Never die. Man, that's wonderful. What a gift. What a gift. A costly gift for God. An amazing gift. A gift of amazing grace to us. For eternity, the fact that Jesus died for my sins. He died for my sins according to the scripture, that he was buried and rose again the third day. Do you believe that? Now, this past week, I gave Joyce a bouquet of flowers. I did. Now, I don't always do that. Sometimes I just get her a box of candy, which I usually end up eating about all of it myself. I don't know why. It's just hard to pass that candy up. But hey, when the God of glory gives us flowers, he gives us not lilies, but the lily of the valley. The rose of Sharon. That's what God gave us. Also notice that God's love involves sacrifice. In fact, the greatest sacrifice in the history of the world. That's that costly part of God's love. And you'll see that pictured in type with Abraham and Isaac. In fact, the first time that the word love shows up, we talked before about the law of first mention. The first time a word shows up in Scripture normally defines, sets the definition normally throughout Scripture. And that word love first shows up with Abraham and Isaac over around Genesis 22. In Genesis 22, verse 2, it says, and God talking to Abraham said, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. A love between a father and a son. Yes, God the Father loves God the Son. Abraham loved his son Isaac. He says, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him therefore burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. In verse 7 it says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now if you've got any other version but a King James Bible, you won't have the reading that is in this book. He said, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Watch it. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. My, 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 my. Why would the new Bible change that God would provide for himself? They eliminate the prophecy here. God will provide himself a lamb. He's the lamb. He shows up a hill of Judea next to the Jordan on the banks of the Jordan River. And John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. My, my, my. That's the Lamb Abraham spake of. And if you notice, another reason we know that was a prophetic is when they found what they were going to sacrifice, it wasn't a lamb at all. It was a ram. Wow. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's a lamb Abraham spoke of. And that love and that sacrifice is available to whosoever will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, watch it, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't think John Calvin believed that. Hey, that love and that sacrifice is an invitation to you, to everybody. At the the reservation the other night, there were two. They had two Valentine specials on the menu. On the special, one was shrimp Alfredo. The other was an 8-ounce ribeye steak. Man, I ordered that steak, and man, so you had two choices for the special. Now, I could have chosen the shrimp, but I have a very extreme allergy to shellfish. That choice for me could have ended up in death. The last time I got a little shrimp in my palate, accidentally I ended up being met by paramedics, loaded up with drugs, and running with lights and siren to the emergency room in Noblesville, Indiana. So there were two choices I could have made. One was what would have been a wonderful thing, and the other could have ended in death for me. You know, God gives all of us a choice. But our text here says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hey, it's on God's menu. It's available to you today. This thing of eternal life, of never dying. Oh, the flesh may die, but we just pass from this life to life eternal with Christ as a Christian. But this life that God has available to you is conditional upon your belief in Jesus Christ. It's the only condition. The old crossroads now is waiting. Which one are you going to take? One road leads to destruction, the other to the pearly gates. It's a crossroads, folk. But God commendeth, it says Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That verse says that God's love is toward us. His love is in our direction. It's in your direction. It's available to you. It's a choice that God wants you to make. He gave the provision. He prepared himself a lamb. And it's available in that while we were yet sinners, it's available to you just exactly like you are. Well, I'm going to wait till I can clean up and wait till I can live it. Good luck. Well, I want to clean up my life first. Good luck. That crowd, we refer to them as the Adam Improvement Society. That don't get you to heaven. Well, I think I've got to be one of the elect. Hey, good luck. You can't be elected until you make yourself a candidate. Whosoever will. Paul said that Jesus Christ came into this world, watch it, to save sinners. Are you a sinner? You're a candidate. Do you recognize that you're a sinner? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Wow. This train is leaving in the morning, this train. This train is leaving in the morning, this train. Oh, this train is leaving in the morning. Better get ready, I'm a giving the warning. Do you have your ticket? You got a ticket? It's already been paid for. It's a pass that somebody already paid for. He came into his own, and his own received him not. That's the Jew. But as many as received him, that's the whosoever wills, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's love. That's love. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. My, my, my. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Someone said the Son of God became the Son of Man that the sons of men might become the sons of God. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. God is in him, that God is love, and that his love motivated him to give us his precious son for an atonement of your sin that we could be reconciled back to him. He withdrew himself from Adam when Adam sinned. He couldn't have fellowship with that sin. So he sent his son, born without sin, in the form of sinful flesh. He became a servant, became like us, that he might reconcile us, redeem us back to God the Father. A mediator. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Mom, that's love, folks. His love is toward you. It's on the menu today if you want to choose that. Choose him. He chose you. All you have to do is reach out by faith and receive him. My, 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 it sounds too simple, preacher. You say, well, how do you do that? How do I reach out by faith? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It says in Romans 10:14, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then it says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings, glad tidings of good things. Hey, it's not just a good deal, folks. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in any lifetime. Ephesians 1:13, in whom all ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Hey, church, we're all in this thing together. God sent me, he sent us to tell others. Sent me to tell others to save the immortal souls of all those who will come to him by faith. Now that's love, folks. The greatest love story ever told. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Your decision. I can't make it for you. What's the old song? I forget who did it back in the 60s. You got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to go there by yourself. And nobody else can go there with you. You've got to go there by yourself. Your decision, one-on-one. My, my, my. Now listen, for Valentine's Day, I also got my wife a box of chocolates. Forrest Gump said that life is like a box of chocolates. You never know just what you're going to get. You know, and maybe life is like that, but folks, death is very different. Let me say this morning that death involves only two options. Eternal life through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for you, or eternal condemnation because you rejected that free gift. You rejected that great love of God toward you. You rejected it. 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul said, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Sort of like the fellow on the airplane, he asked the stewardess, she asked if he wanted supper. He said, "What's the options?" And she said, "Yes or no." Hey, that's how it is with Jesus Christ. What you do with Jesus Christ, either yes or no, will determine eternity for your immortal soul. Hey, if you go to hell today, don't blame God. It's not God's fault. He loved you enough to die for you, made a way for you. He loved you enough to save you from hell. Hey, Rahab was a harlot, the Bible says. And in Hebrews 11:31, it says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not." Watch it. "With them that believed not." Why was she saved? Because she believed. Why did they perish? Because they believed not. Hell is filled today with those who believed not. They refused to believe. The children of Israel, Hebrews 3:18, "And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not." So we see here, Hebrews 3:19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Jesus Christ, he is there for you today. Yes. Yes, I'm going to trust him. And yes, I know I'm a sinner. Yes, I know Jesus Christ is the Savior. I believe that. And I'm going to reach out the best way I know how and ask the Lord Jesus to be merciful to me, a sinner. It's yes to Jesus Christ or no. "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, Paul." Come back another time, another day. Hey, it's yes to Jesus Christ or no to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the greatest love story ever told is the story of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, the love of the Father. Song of Solomon 2:1 says, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters." John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Every American soldier that puts on a uniform, every police officer that puts on that uniform, should be acquainted with that verse. The greatest Valentine ever given, the greatest love ever shown to mankind, was marked out over 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. The cruel cross of Christ. He did it on his own. He didn't have to die for you. He willingly did the will of his Father. He said in John 10:18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." His Father said, "Son, it's up to you." John 10:28, Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand." Jesus said, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My burden is light, my yoke is easy." Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And whosoever is athirst, let him drink the water of life freely." What is it today? If everyone stand up this morning, what is it? Is it yes? Yes, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're the Savior. I believe you're the one that died for my sins. I believe you're the only one that could. give atonement for my sins. It's either yes or it's either no. My, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The altar's open this morning. Maybe there's a burden on your heart. Maybe you just need to get this thing settled. Get closure on it. Yes, Jesus, I want you. I want you. I need you. I love you. You love me first. Thank you, Jesus, as we sing this morning. 2-7.